Love this podcast? Support this show through the Acast Supporter feature. It's up to you how much you give and there's no regular commitment. Just hit the link in the show description to support now.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous two-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass f-. So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
A lot can happen in the next 3 years. Like a chatbot may be your new best friend. But what won't change? Needing health insurance. UnitedHealthcare Tri-Term medical plans are available for these changing times. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they offer budget-friendly, flexible coverage for people who are in between jobs or missed open enrollment. The plans last nearly 3 years in some states, with access to a nationwide network of doctors and hospitals. So for whatever tomorrow brings, UnitedHealthcare Tri-Term medical plans may be for you. Learn more at uh1.com.
Welcome to Hoovering, the podcast about eating. I'm Jessica Fostercue. I love eating as much as anything else in the world, but also it sometimes brings me conflict, shame, and all sorts of other things that are rubbish. It's complicated and I think fascinating. This is a conversation with an interesting soul, not just about food, but about gobbling it up, or if you will, hoovering. Hey winners, I've got a very special episode for you this week because it's with my best friend in the world, the repulsively talented writer, director and actor and notoriously trendy little cunt, Rachel Stubbings. Or as I'm referring to her from now on, Rachel, that's the vibe, Stubbings. You are a dear heart for listening to the podcast. Thank you. I hope you're enjoying them. I am. Keep telling other people about them. I'm very grateful for you doing that. And when you rate, review, subscribe, blah, blah, blah. Also, do you want to come to some live shows? We've got some in. I think the next one's in October 13th in Manchester. Go to livenation.co.uk and search for Hoovering to find out more about them. And there'll be London ones coming on sale soon for the end of the year, or maybe one big massive one. Also, I'm touring my stand-up show, Hench. They're going to be from February proper touring. But come to that. In the meantime, it's at the Soho Theatre in London for 3 juicy weeks of January, so look that up and come along. If you've got any spare money and you love supporting podcasts, go to patreon.com/thehooveringpod. You can see all sorts of splendid prizes that I'm willing to swap in exchange for your hard-earned cash, even just from sort of like a $2 a month. You'll get little bits and bobs, guest recipes, extra content, discount tickets to live shows, stuff like that. So before we get into this podcast, a few wee warnings. Stubbs and I talk about addiction versus moderation in quite honest detail, in case that's not for you. Also, we're outside in my garden, and I repeatedly apologise for building work noisiness, which it turns out, actually, the mic wasn't picking up at all. But what I didn't apologise for, and so I am now, is all the noise from the wind and probably me banging on the table or the microphone. Also, there's the sound of two women smoking quite a bit, in case that upsets anyone. We sat down. It was just this week we recorded this in the sunshine with some pasta I'd made, a very sexy bottle of champagne and a couple of rollies, both celebrating the lovely, successful summers that we've had and talking about everything and anything else to do with eating. Right, I'm joined for this Hoovering by, it's a special one for a number of reasons. The main one is there's champagne, but the other one is I've roped my best mate into doing one. Hello, Rachel Stubbings.
Hello, Jessica Fostercue.
Oh, this is nice.
Yeah, it's so nice.
We're sat in my sunny Catford garden, so straight off the bat there'll probably be a little bit of horror noise from some nearby building works, because Catford's on the up and up.
Yes. I live 5 minutes down the road.
Yes. Stubbs can pop round whenever she likes, and she bloody well does.
Got a key.
She's got a key. She just she just comes in when she, whenever she likes.
Yesterday I came round to stay in for a bed to be delivered and I ate 10 of Jess's 3-year-old son's biscuits.
Party
ten.
Rings.
10 in a... just stood.
That's my door, actually. That's not my anus, if anybody's listening. We could close it, couldn't
yeah.
we? And I'm just back from Edinburgh. Well, so is Stubbs, actually. She directed loads of amazing shows there. The likes of Gabby Best and Joe Sutherland and Rosie Jones and Callie Beaton.
Oh, yeah.
Anyone else?
No, that was it.
No. What a roster. Rostrum? What a roster. What a number of... what a great list.
Yeah.
And I had a nice Edinburgh, so my friend Deborah Francis White has bought me a bottle of Veuve Clicquot for getting my show nominated.
It's very naughty that we're drinking, because I've got a meeting after this.
Yes, and I've got a very important gig, I say what it is. But it's fine,
anyway,
we can have a cup of tea later. I just always wanted to make this noise on my podcast. Such a sexy noise. All right. Let's pour it.
I once did champagne waitressing at a sort of well-to-do party, and I fucked that up.
Did you?
So many times.
So my dad, we were drinking Veuve Clicquot, which are owned by Moët Chandon, or I think they're probably called something like Moët Hennessy Christian Dior, something, 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 something now. But my dad worked for Moët for years before he got made redundant.
Thank you.
And I had to go to tastings with him. There's a bit of building work. And as a child, and pour people champagne. So it meant I could open a bottle of champagne and pour it properly, like with my thumb in the
bum.
Yeah,
I had to do all of that.
From when I was like 11.
Crikey.
But you know what? Because we had champagne in our house growing up, what a cunt this makes me. I didn't really like it. And then sort of hit my 30s and realised, oh yeah, I do really
like it.
I'm not an idiot.
I've had nice champagne, I've had shit champagne, and I do prefer the nice stuff.
Yeah, also, Verve is bloody lovely. And it's vegan, unlike our lunch. Cheers!
Chin chin!
Mmm.
Oh, it tastes of naughtiness.
Oh, it's just nice.
Mmm.
I mean, sorry, Verve, it's better than nice. Do you know what? You'd think after 18 months of doing this podcast, I get better at describing things that I'm eating and drinking.
Like, it's delicious.
Yeah, just still going, ooh, really nice, fit, lush.
Yeah, fit's a good one. I use fit for everything now.
Mm. That is sexy.
Started off as a joke, now just what I say. Like, vibe.
Oh.
I said vibe in a meeting this morning.
Did you?
Without any irony.
What do you mean? What, you said I get a great vibe off that?
Yeah, I was like, yeah, that's the vibe. Yeah.
Well, I was in a five-side football team when I was a teenager called the Vibe Tribe, all girls.
Amazing. Why on earth didn't I know that before?
Yeah.
Right, here we go. Okay. Jess has managed to cook me a meal with the one thing I don't like.
Yeah.
Oh, so that's good.
Table's wobbling.
Mm. Oh, hang about.
Hello. So what this is my lovely cousin Dan always seems to cook very quick, simple, beautiful dinners for me when I go around. Sometimes they're very complicated, but this is an easy... It's from, I'm going to have to look it up again. I literally just looked at it.
Is that champagne you
downed? Yeah, I didn't down it. River Cottage Veg Every Day.
Oh.
And it's pasta with fresh fennel. And the reason I made it for you is because I had a fennel bulb in my odd box.
Mm.
And just lemon zest and creme fraiche. I've got some sexy pasta.
Yes, it is fit.
Mm. Didn't have any rockets, I've used spinach. But turns out Stubbs doesn't like fennel. But how do you feel about this? Oh dear.
Absolutely love it, mate.
Yes! Do you?
Yeah, so is the fennel just in this stuff?
Mm-hmm.
Oh, by the way, listener, I'm a disgusting eater.
You're not.
Talk with my mouth full. And
oh.
Put stuff just... in while I'm still chewing other
yeah,
bits.
Yeah, good. Me too. Oh, God, it's really
I used
hard.
To be very self-conscious eating out.
Did you?
Yeah, to a point where I wouldn't do it.
What, because you knew you were such a beast when it came to just sort of...
Yeah, and I always felt like I was too, like, from poor stock. So I didn't deserve... I don't know.
Really?
Yeah, I've had panic attacks in posh restaurants before.
Fuck off.
Yeah.
Just like, just not posh enough to be there.
Yeah.
That's not cool, is it?
No.
What happened? Because you got classier as you've got older, do you?
Yeah.
But also, do you think those restaurants, talk about eating with your mouthful. Hang on. Do you think those restaurants have sometimes got a bit more accessible? Do you think it's a bit of both?
Yeah, I think like, I've been in more now.
Yeah. Like... Also,
so
though,
I'm used
you've
to
been
it.
In
like
some really swanky restaurants.
Yeah, totally. And actually, me and Alistair Green used to... I don't know if... Have you had Alistair Green on yet?
I bloody haven't. I need to.
Oh, yeah. He loves food. We did this lovely thing when I was going for a real rough patch. and he didn't know how to help me because he's emotionally inept.
Yeah.
So we just ate, like, about once a week, we just Googled, like, the best restaurant, and just, I was feeling a bit flush at the time, and so was he, so... couldn't name you a single one we went to, but
what, central London ones?
Yeah,
or did you go, like,
wherever
we're all
really.
London. Yeah,
yeah, like really nice curries and. It was really lovely.
What's the scuzziest place you've ever felt not posh enough for? Wagamama's. Do you ever felt not posh enough in a Nando's?
No.
So we're talking fine dining. That
like a posh restaurant. Yeah, like something with.
Well,
marble.
Me too. I'd have never known any etiquette and shit.
I'm in my tum.
Have I put too much salt in it?
No, it's perfect, mate. Really enjoying it.
I'm so happy. I'm also really enjoying it. So basically, I can't put the recipe online because it's plagiarism, but buy that book. But also, it's so easy. You just cut a whole fennel bulb up.
Oh, it didn't take you very long at all, did it?
You cook some pasta, and then you do one clove of garlic, the zest of a lemon, and I've done two because I'm a pervert for a bit of lemon zest. And you just fry it all up, and then you add the pasta, and then you whip in some creme fraiche, and then grate a bit of hard goat's cheese over the roof. It's not very vegan.
No.
But you can get vegan creme fraiche.
We are vegans, aren't we?
Well, we try most of the time.
Sort of.
We're very relaxed. I don't think we're allowed the word. Yeah. What did you have last night?
Big
steak?
Big tub of... No. I haven't eaten meat in ages, but... massive tub of the tub itself is small, but it's meant for sharing. That, that Magnum, you know.
Oh, did I introduce you to that?
No, I'd had it already, but
so Magnum do this thing. I've only had the one called Double Caramel something, but it's got, like, it's a tub of ice cream like size of a Ben and Jerry's or a Haagen-Dazs, but it's Magnum now. And on the roof there's like about a pound coin, or maybe a £2 coins thickness of solid Magnum chocolate.
Yes, please.
And then underneath there's shards of chocolate like that all running through ice cream with fresh caramel.
And it's encased, the whole case is chocolate.
The whole case is chocolate. It's fucking sublime. Magnum. My sister introduced me to it in France just before the Fringe. And I did an online supermarket shop for the first time in my life, ready for when I arrived at the Fringe, two tubs.
Very clever.
Yeah.
Aren't you a big brave girl now?
I say that I'm a big brave girl now, but that shop, bearing in mind I was living there for a month, included two tubs of ice cream, a bottle of champagne, a bottle of dark rum, two bottles of ginger ale, some limes, two bottles of white wine, two bottles of red wine,
disgusting.
And a small amount of food. It's a wonder the show went all right.
Yeah, that's a horrible order.
If it makes you feel better, I brought back with me over half of the bottle of rum.
I mean,
the rest of it went. I didn't do it by myself.
I know. I helped with some of it.
You helped a tiny bit with some of it.
I had a couple of scoops of the ice cream actually one night when I came in.
Oh no, you immediately confessed.
Yeah, I felt very guilty about it.
Why?
Because it's different, you know, like nicking some bread or something off someone.
Oh no, if you're coming home,
you're like, oh, got that fucking ice cream in the fridge, that's all right. You know, it's like reason to live, isn't it?
Mm. Oh, it's so true.
If you'd got home and there had been, like, you know, you got, oh, I've just got three spoonfuls of it, you'd have been pissed off.
I was very impressed, though, that you'd tucked in, but one clearly with a teaspoon, not a big girl's
teaspoon.
Spoon.
Yeah.
I like to do that too, but only so it makes the entire thing take longer.
Mm.
It doesn't mean, because you'd stop, there wasn't much left. Did you do soup spoons last night?
I did do soup spoons.
Yes.
And I didn't mean to eat the whole thing.
So hang on, you ate one of those Magnum things to yourself?
Yeah, in one sitting.
Stubbs, that's quite unlike you. It's what I was about to say. I think you're relatively...
No.
I know you as a moderate when it comes to pace and quantity.
Pig. I can't leave stuff. Absolute pig. No willpower.
Well, you had willpower with the Magnum ice cream.
Yeah, but
before.
But that's because I love
in your
you.
Head you. That's because you love me.
That was the only reason.
Oh, stop.
And also, I knew I didn't have time the next day to go out, get you another one.
Oh, shut up. I wouldn't have cared.
No, but...
I'd have been proud of you for finishing it up. I'm so proud of you for smashing a whole tub.
Oh, I mean, strange thing to be proud of me.
I don't think it is. I think it's impressive.
Mm. Yeah, I'm disgusting like that. I my meals are really healthy.
Yeah.
But I love crisps. Like, absolutely.
Wasn't where I thought you were going to go after the healthy comment.
Absolutely love crisps. So I'll have...
Let's talk about crisps.
Oh, I mean...
Is it daily? Daily crisps?
Yeah, yeah. If I don't have a bag of crisps daily, it's because I made an active choice to stop eating crisps.
Right, because it's just like, let's give my body one day off a crisp.
Yeah, or I'm like all or nothing, so I might do like, you know, a week without crisps.
I had a job last night. I don't think about crisps. I'm not emotionally attached to them.
I had a wank the other day just to stop myself eating crisps. Didn't even want it. Didn't even want it. Just so such a sad image.
Really, just a chore. One you just working away. If you don't really want it, you're just fucking working away.
Yeah,
right?
I mean that's my love life all over, really. Don't really want it, but
it's just in there
probably,
just to stop the crisps.
Probably give it a go.
Just to give you a little bit of time away from crisps.
Stop me thinking about salt and vinegar.
I want you to find a partner made of crisps and have all your dreams come true. Can you imagine, like Michelin Man,
crisp
but Willy. Crisp Willy.
Oh, Jesus Christ.
Such a terrible thought, isn't it? Unless it's only ever going in your mouth.
Yeah, wouldn't
salt and vinegar. I think I've taken the analogy too far. what was I going to say?
Yeah, so crisps and chocolate and sweets, I'm an absolute fiend for.
Right.
Yeah, like a real child's palate.
But you're not, because you eat literally everything I make for you, and I've made you some disasters and some nice things.
Also,
but some right old wonky flavours and shit.
My family, apart from my brother Sam, we're all obsessed with no waste.
Right.
Like, my nan and my auntie, like, we're all, you know, whole meals have been made from, like, scraps and... And I think that's from... Well, I think...
That's great.
Yeah, I mean, it's... Yeah, how one of us hasn't had salmonella poisoning at some point. My brother in Japan's
the
worst. Like, he'll eat Chinese takeaway for, like, 4 or 5 days later.
Surely he gets ill, though, sometimes.
Actually, yeah, no, he does. Gets the shits.
Yeah, terrible shits.
But he always thinks it's something else. But, yeah, I think... Well, one, I think mum and dad were still... It was still sort of rations a little bit when they were... They have got vague memories of rations. But also, my granddad was a prisoner of war.
Was he? Where?
Yeah. In Japan.
Fuck.
Yeah, got caught in Singapore.
Oh, my God. What does he think about your brother having...
Well, he's dead now, but...
for context, his brother has a...
Lives in Japan.
Lives in Japan and has Japanese children and...
Yeah.
Child, yeah.
Before I went over one time, when my granddad's still alive, he said, be sure to say hello to my girlfriends.
So actually, he was a prisoner of war that was getting his wick away.
I don't know exactly.
Sounds like it. My granddad was seven.
Yeah, I think they really fancied the, you know, the Western...
The officers. Well, my granddad is English, and... only once he was at the very early stages of... He's now definitely got dementia, I think I can say that. It's dementia. Did he start being honest about the pathetic nature of his war efforts?
Oh, really?
I say that for comedic effect. I have no interest in anybody. I haven't been a fucking hero in any war.
Yeah.
But he basically just started talking about it really brilliantly, honestly, and admitted that he'd never really joined in until we'd already won. And then that he just got posted in Italy and Austria... And literally banged his way around every beautiful woman that would have him until he met my nana. I don't think that necessarily stopped him writing his tracks, but fell in love. And until she would accept his advances, I had a woman in every port, he was saying once he lost his inhibitions. And I found it brilliant, but my poor dad was like, And Gordy would say things like, you've got always to look forward to, son. Oh, as my if my, God. You know... 60-something-year-old dad is at some point going to just start travelling and having a lover in every European port post-war, in a time of desperate need where women everywhere have been devoid of love and sex for months.
Oh,
you say they're
God.
Into these Western men in Japan, they just haven't got laid for fucking ages.
Yeah.
Good chat, isn't it, for a podcast about eating?
Yeah.
Taking a picture of our empty... in it. Yeah.
Yeah, but my granddad swears he survived because he swapped his tokens, like cigarette tokens, for the water that the fish was cooked in. And also, he was a baker. That was his trade. So He built these like little makeshift ovens out of tin, and he baked like little bits of bread and.
Wow.
Yeah, yeah. Like, he was there from 1942 to 1945.
Oh, my God. Yeah, like, he and so I guess other people were dying of starvation in
there.
Yeah,
yeah, yeah. Loads of his mates died.
Shit, stub.
Yeah, yeah.
I didn't know that about
Yeah,
you.
Yeah. I've been vegan for a veg for a while, but only vegan for a year. Well,
you're not a perfect vegan. No, I don't think we get to say the word.
I had Magnum. Yes, I had a Magnum.
Yeah, I don't think we get to keep saying vegan.
Vegetarian.
You just who eats minimal dairy.
Yeah,
exactly.
Yeah, vegetarian. I can't remember what my point was now.
Oh, sorry. Oh, tits.
Oh, yeah, Chinese takeaway.
Yes, your favourite breakfast. That is cool.
But since I now don't eat meat-based products,
yeah,
what a bore a Chinese takeaway is. Not having crispy shredded beef, I find a Chinese takeaway utterly pointless.
You need to find a good takeaway then, because Fern Brady talks about it, I think, on the podcast before last to this one. There's tofu dishes which we can never cook the likes
of. Yeah,
tofu. You're not that into it.
Yeah.
But though I think a great Chinese restaurant, a great Chinese chef does incredible things with tofu. There's something called stinky tofu that she mentioned, which sounds horrific, but sounds, once you hear what it actually is, amazing.
I do make this really nice thing, actually. I marinate some tofu with ginger and soy sauce and chilli and garlic and coriander, sort of marinate it overnight, and then... press sesame seeds, so it's got a sesame seed coating, and then I lightly fry that.
Yes,
and
please.
It is excellent.
That
and also it
excellent.
Really nice. Like if you do it in like a steak shape, like wedge, then you can eat that just as is, cold the next day.
Nice.
Really
does
nice.
Sesame seeds stay stuck on? I find that troublesome.
No, they're a bit of a nightmare. Bit of miso glaze.
Oh, tell me about that starter you had the other day. Thank you. Best burp we've ever had on the podcast.
Is it?
Yeah.
Oh, you mean
Cheers.
That?
Cheers, I do mean it. Literally
I'm
no
so
one else
thrilled.
Has ripped one out like that.
Oh, God, I did forget
stubs.
About the mic, to be fair. I did forget we were recording this. So your one glass of champagne doing its job.
That's the dream.
Yeah, so Gabby Best, my dear friend... She took me out for a lovely meal the other night with her bucket money from the Edinburgh Fringe.
That's not sort of vagina money. It's like, if you're in a venue that's either free or pay what you want, then on the way out, audience members give you a bit of cash into a bucket. So she's obviously collected it all. And like the absolute hero that Gabby is, taking her director Stubbs out for food with it.
Oh, so nice.
Yeah, I've heard of this, the gate. In
yeah, since
so
we went to the gate. We ordered two starters and a main each, and
standard, quite a classic choice, really.
Yeah.
Actually,
yeah.
Almost not worth saying.
Yeah, but for me to have a starter is pretty posh.
Oh, is it? That's swanky.
Pretty posh night out, thank you. Yeah. Didn't pay, that's why. it was some sort of one was like a sort of beetroot, love beetroot, and avocado, love avocado. Mm. Growing lots at the moment. Anyway, I won't go on.
Are you growing beetroots?
Yeah. Mum's growing some beetroots in her garden, but I've been growing some avocado plants.
Oh, what?
Yeah, although
because of climate change, can we grow them here now?
Quite heartbreakingly. I was
reading,
I was like,
I've
these are going really well now. Oh, yeah, lovely. These are growing really well now. I wonder what I need to do, you know, like repot them or something. And then it was like, yes, and then in 3 to 4 years, you'll have the first avocado.
Really?
Like, all right, it might be too late.
Oh, no, you've got to play the long game. And I'm sure you can move them because you've got them in those lovely raised beds. For clarity, if you're listening, Stubbs lives around the corner in a shed at the end of her mum's garden.
Yeah.
A
really?
Shed that she built.
With my
with
hands.
Her feminist hands.
Yeah, I mean, it's not rock and it's not the coolest story, is it?
I think it is.
Do you?
Because I think it's badass.
I'm worried it's tragic.
I don't think it's tragic.
In a way, I own property.
Yes.
I think
you own a shed at the end of a house that your
parent
owns.
If I never become a success in any way, then
you will and are.
No, but then it is tragic.
No.
But if I imagine being on a podium going, I wrote this in the shed, the shack.
Yeah.
At the end of my mum's garden that I lived in.
It will be the story that David Cameron was always hoping to tell with his, like, fucking shepherd's hut at the end of his
you know, Britain destroying exit from office. Not that I wish he was still in. I just wish he'd never done a Brexit, obviously.
Oh, God, don't.
Hang on.
Yeah, I'll tell you about this starter.
Okay.
Well, Jess has walked off, so it feels weird to carry on talking. but I will. The second starter was a aubergine. It was called something like miso marinated eggplant. Anyway, it was off the scale.
Yeah,
you
told me about it yesterday, and you made a little like noise.
Yeah, we had to like take some stock, just take stock of the situation.
Oh, that's so lovely when you're eating something in a restaurant or anywhere, and you just have to go. Ooh.
And also, Gabby loves to talk, so she did shut up for like at least 3 minutes. Which I was overjoyed about. Gabby, if you're listening, hello.
I want to know about growing up in Ely. I know, two brothers, working parents. What was eating like?
Mum's not a great cook, but she could absolutely... Like, I mean,
you've just reminded me that.
Oh, when I got really upset.
Yeah.
Oh,
this was God. When you were an adult, though, wasn't
yeah,
it?
Yeah, no, recently. This was last year, yeah.
What did she do again?
She did curry with spaghetti. And I cried. I cried.
What, at her?
It's like the final... I don't know. You know, it was just... I couldn't believe I was back home again. I'd like, had a tough time and had to leave where I was and the relationship I was in. And then suddenly I found myself living at my mum's again and eating like home-cooked mum food. And it just felt like an enormous flight backwards. But the other day she made me a stew with raw potatoes. She's been on this medication that's made her taste buds are squiffy. So,
really?
Yeah, I said to her the other day, you can't keep cooking while you're on those tablets because everything you're making is disgusting.
So have you taken over a bit? So she's not the best cook, we gathered that. But she tries.
But she's great. Like, she's... she can make something out of nothing. Like, she's really imaginative. And, like, she's, you know, her roast potatoes are still the best I've ever had.
Oh, amazing. Yeah, yeah. Well, like, that's all you
the
need.
The meals that she does make are mint.
But, she makes well.
Yeah, and she does this thing called Mama's Pizza, which is talked about far and wide, which is basically a sort of... It's more like a flan, but there's so much cheese. Excuse me. There's so much cheese. Oh, God. Yeah, it's so great.
I want to know about Mama's Pizza. That's it's more like a flan.
It's Isn't pastry it rather
oh,
than...
shit.
No, I mean, like, my brother's friends used to come round, you know, they'd get a tip off that Mum was doing Mama's Pizza.
Wow.
Like, our house was just filled with young men growing up, and they were just my brother's friends.
Is it like a tartlet, then, where you have, like, puff pastry along the bottom of the tray?
It was meant to be a pizza.
Was it round?
Hence the title, Mama's Pizza.
Was it round?
No, it was just done in whatever tray she had at the time.
It was
yeah.
tartlet stuff.
So it was in a... Yeah, it was always in a dish. And then it was like a layer of... She will not to this day to tell us the recipe. We've all tried to recreate Mama's
Pizza. She's like the Colonel.
Yeah. So it was like a layer of tomato, then thick mozzarella. Thick, chewy mozzarella. Then another layer of tomato, whatever that is, which is delicious. And then another layer of mozzarella and cheddar.
Fit.
And my God. I mean, it's just legendary in Ely. She is a good, she is good. She doesn't enjoy cooking, whereas I enjoy it.
Yeah.
And she put me in the kitchen. She put me to work very early.
You've made me some fit soups, and you've made me a bit like I fed you fennel today, but I feel like you've done that to me too, because you went through a phase of being quite obsessed with making carrot and coriander soup, and I've never liked it. I just don't particularly care about those two flavours.
Yeah, I like
it. I always find it's a bit watery, but yours was fit.
Yeah, I'm good at soups. I've got an accidental... what's the word? Like
signature dish?
No. Oh no, I don't think I do. Maybe my ramen soup.
Your what soup?
Ramen soup.
Oh, do you make a ramen soup at home?
Ramen, yeah. Fuck, man. Yeah, I'm really good at anything like that.
Are you?
Yeah, but it's all accidental. I've got an instinct for taste, to flavour.
So hang on, so you don't follow that. Recipes? Just
initially, I might look at
shit you've got to use.
I might use a recipe, and then the next time I'll make that, I think I know how to make that better.
Nice. Yeah, actually.
And I'll never have to look at the recipe again. It's like it is just in my... It's in my emotional memory, yeah.
Delicious.
Okay, I have two new obsessions that I need to share with you. Impress No Glue Press-On Manis and Impress Press-On Falsies Lashes. Trust me, these are getting ready game changers. Both require no glue, so there is no damage to your natural nails and lashes, no mess, and no annoying dry times. Just one step and you're done. Boom. Instant glam. Visit impressbeauty.com/presson and use code PRESSON25 at checkout for 25% off Impress manicure and Press-On falsies.
Tired of ads barging into your favorite news podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay up to date on everything newsworthy by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/newsadfree. That's amazon.com/newsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Flexibility is great. That's why there's yoga. Flexibility for your insurance coverage is great too. That's why there's United Healthcare Insurance Plans. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, United Healthcare Insurance Plans offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage for medical, vision, dental, and more. One of these plans may be right for you if you're, say, between jobs, coming off your parents' plan, turning a side hustle into a full hustle, or even missed open enrollment. Want more flexibility? Find out more about United Healthcare Insurance Plans at uh1.com.
When I was at uni, the doctor I saw, I was like, look, I'm ill all the time. Mm. And all just run down, like I never felt well. And that probably was around the time I laughed and I puked, so maybe that was part of it. He said, because it was Totnes, it was like a really hippie town.
So is that where you went to uni?
Yeah, well, yeah, Dartington, which is near Totnes, but Totnes is like the local town.
Do you know, I don't think I ever knew that you went to uni down in Devon.
Oh my God.
Really?
What? Oh, well, I blocked it out, mate. It was fucking traumatic. Horrible.
Were you doing drama or something?
Theatre, yeah, but it was weird, sort of avant-garde theatre. So I lobbed myself along the floor loads. And like Shakespeare was a swear word, like no scripts.
Really?
Yeah, yeah. I was going to leave and then I got a first for distributing coloured rocks around a garden for 3 hours. I thought, I'm probably going to stay here. But yeah, the doctor said to me, do you mind me asking, have you ever craved red meat? And I was like, I'd like fantasized about raw red meat.
Yeah.
And I was like, yeah, I think about raw red meat a lot. Like I want to bite it when I see it.
I think that's
butcher.
Your body asking yeah, you for yeah. iron.
And he was like, would you mind eating me again? And I was really like, you know, as a kid, I was like leader of the Green Party at school. And, you know, I was really into my environmental stuff. So it was really hard pill to swallow to think about eating meat again.
Yeah.
Having been one since I was like a kid,
yeah,
a veggie, and but I remember, and I didn't eat meat. I just ignored it for a few months, and then I was in a restaurant with my two brothers, my dad, and I think their girlfriends, and it was a free range restaurant, and
yeah, yeah.
You know, it was all like, you know, locally sourced, yeah. And I was like, now would be a good time to try, and I think I had like chicken, but I hated it.
And then you just
I just found it really dry,
and
yeah, but and then I was really into meat a few years after that. I went out with a vegetarian. I remember finding that very difficult.
Yeah,
because I really all my favourite recipes were meat based.
I think that's really hard when just because there's now a bit of shame around it. Now that everybody's woke to the environmental impacts, which I assume is why you're doing it now.
Yeah, yeah, and also like I weirdly, you know, I got my dog and who's now dead, but
Wilma. Rest in peace, Wilma. Lovely Wilms.
But then I just had this new sort of, well, old actually. It was like an old love for animals that
yeah.
this worry that came
rekindled.
Back.
Oh, stop.
Yeah, so I stopped again.
Do you know, I think that I had gone vegetarian for about 18 months before I got pregnant with Rudy, and then it was insane the screaming that my body did for me. And it was exactly the same. I wanted really bloody steaks, which you're not meant to have on paper, according to, like, NHS guidelines, because of the risks of, you know, different bacterias and stuff like that. But I just did, you know.
Yeah, I think listen to
especially
your body.
I went to France.
Your
I think listen
very,
to your body.
Really wrong.
Unless it's asking you for cigarettes and champagne.
Yeah, which it has done today, weirdly.
And I think in a way it was worth listening to it occasionally, even when it's asking for stuff like that.
Yeah.
I'm only looking at that because I know I'm on one bar of battery, and the idea of missing any of this. I've got some batteries ready, don't worry.
That's absolute
I'm like
gold,
in many ways like a professional podcaster, apart from sitting in a garden while building work's going on, so that we can.
Yeah.
This is. We're in the sunshine, and it's.
Yeah, I'm worried I haven't got cream.
So lovely. Oh, are you going to be all right? I think I've got enough.
Here
of
I
a,
am. Champagne's open.
Yeah.
That first glass I struggled with, but now I'm at the bottom of the
second. I was going to say, I beat you down the first glass.
Yeah, I was ashamed, actually. It's because I got quite into the food.
I'm glad. So I've wooed you into some kind of fennel-like.
Maybe I just... I definitely had a meal that was disgusting that had fennel in it. And the fennel was really overbearing. And then I did try it again because I won't be beaten. I tried it again at quite a nice Italian. And I still found it overbearing. But in that one, I didn't even taste fennel.
I think I'd overcooked the fennel a little bit. But I also think it's very subtle. It's smoky.
Yes, that's what I liked about it.
I like it. I love that as well. I didn't like beetroot forever. And I had so many foodie mates be like, you just haven't had it right. And I'd try it again and again and again and again. Because I'm of exactly the same mind. So I will not have this one thing that if it's amazing, I don't like. And I'm full circle now, but I don't want it in everything. I still have to be in the mood.
I make a lovely beetroot smoothie.
Ooh, well, I've got two massive motherfucking beetroots if you'd like one.
Oh, well, steam them. Oh, yeah, well, I'm fully stocked up.
Oh, because you're growing them.
Yeah, well, no, they didn't really have... Well,
they won't grow... Actually, they're more October, aren't they?
Yeah, they're pretty piddly, and the leaves have all sort of slightly rotted.
I've got some off of Oddbox that are like a baby's head, baby's heads.
Well, steam it and freeze it.
Okay.
Maybe.
Oh, okay, that's a good shout. I'm going away tomorrow.
I often do that with my fruit, like strawberries and things. I mean, I put a lot of strawberries in smoothies because frozen strawberries, because as in, like, I buy strawberries and then I freeze them, because sometimes, you know, you put healthy stuff in, it's pretty gross.
Yeah.
I put spirulina in it or something like
you
that.
You taught me that word and I thought you were joking. Like,
yeah,
you'd be
that
like,
was when,
spirulina.
When
I remember
me
doing
and
a
Jamie
character.
Glassman were being stupid people that invented smoothie aerobics. I can't remember the joke.
Stubbs makes a lot of brilliant short films that you should look all of them up. And I remember you were doing a series of shit agony aunt stuff.
Oh,
and you
yeah.
made me come in and be like this nasty hippie with like a lot of pashminas on. So many pashminas.
Yeah. I've often dressed
and some
you in
sort of costume. Yeah, thanks, mate. And a lot of costume jewellery. It makes a nice change, to be honest, from security guards and social workers.
Aww.
And mumsy mums. But I remember for that, you were like, to get into character, you were like, so she's a sort of woman who'd say spirulina. But you put that in a smoothie. I put frozen kale in, that'll ruin it.
Oh.
But very good for you.
Yeah, I eat a lot of kale.
I like
kale went
roasted.
Mad in my mum's garden.
Ooh.
Yeah, tons of it.
Can I congratulate you and your mum on your slug management then? I've never been able to.
Well,
grow
I'm quite.
Green
I
vegetable.
Don't. I yeah, I pick them up and lob them over the ferns.
No, great.
But I've got neighbours.
My dad, when I was little, this is going to upset some vegans, used to go, because we had a problem in our house with slugs and snails down in Dorset where I was growing up. There would be snail trails on the carpets, on the stairs
right.
up the,
yeah, we
up
had
the
that in
main
an
stairs
house.
In the house all the time. And you just grow up used to it.
Yeah.
And now I think I'd be quite, I've got a bit of ants, but at least they're small and hard. There's
ants
something about
fine.
The slime of ant,
yeah.
of snails and slugs. But because once, the first time it happened, a slug had got in between the rim of the top of the fridge. I hadn't got in the fridge, but it was on the kind of cushy, plasticky rim.
Oh,
and it was
Jesus.
Soaking its slug body into the divots in the rim between that and the top of the fridge.
Nice.
Horrific. And Dad went, watch this, and poured salt on it and had me watch it die like that.
Oh.
It's a wonder I'm as balanced as I am.
Yeah. Well, you're not.
Can you...
I mean... Can you forget we're recording? Perfect. Here's the
girl we're recording. Oh, please bully me like you would normally. Please.
One thing that I've started bullying Jess about is because for a decade now, Jess has bullied me for being trendy. And she is trendy
I know exactly
now.
What you're going to say.
She is trendy now.
I am not trendy.
You are trendy. You have jumpsuits.
Yeah, but I've always loved a dungaree.
Yeah, that's true.
But and it's just, still, it just I was saying this to
I remember
the
seeing
costume
you in
woman
Edinburgh
last night
and
at
thinking,
a job.
You're fucked.
And you said, I hate it.
You can
you're
never.
You're trendy with me and I hate it.
You can never, never bully me for being trendy again.
I still think
I
that
think you've rocked
you're
the
a
outfit.
Long pleated skirt. Over
oh,
further
I'm,
over the
I'm
line
awful.
Than me.
Yeah,
you're
yeah.
a trendy little cunt
yeah,
stub.
Such a little
and
cunt.
I'm just wearing jumpsuits and dungarees.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And now, because I bullied you for having a bum bag and you bought me one
yeah.
for my birthday that I
yeah.
love,
yeah,
will
really
also
useful.
Wear a bum bag over my shoulder. And that is why I was in dungarees,
yeah,
some
that's
leopard
right.
print
yeah,
Converse,
yeah. Yeah.
And then
and
your
really nice
and the bum
earrings.
Bag you'd got me
yeah.
over my shoulder
and
you were
looked
like, fuck you.
Mint. I really mean that. I felt a sense of pride. I was like, yeah, got her.
You definitely did have
broke
some impact
down.
On that.
Broke her down.
Worn me down. I'll be in a fucking pleated skirt for the years yeah. out. Fuck
of which I have four of.
No, I will not. I will not. I need to ask you some of the questions I'd normally ask
people.
Oh, yeah,
people. Go on then. Fill my glass up first.
Yeah.
Sorry. Probably going to get more interesting answers.
Have you ever had a... Oh, tell me what you go to with a hangover, actually.
Well... Instinct always says fry up, but I've learned to ignore the instinct.
Right.
And go for a much... Tell you what I do now. If I'm out and I think, oh, Christ, I'm going to wake up feeling like absolute dog dirt when I wake up.
Yeah. Do you have a pre-bed ritual?
Yeah, watermelon.
Tell us about it.
I buy a big watermelon. I was staying in my homeless days. I wasn't really, like... I wasn't sad.
Do you mean
home.
Post-breakup?
So yeah. I
sofa
just,
surfing.
I just didn't have anywhere to live.
Yeah.
It wasn't like I was on the streets.
No.
I just didn't have anywhere to live.
No.
And I stayed at a lot of people's houses. And I stayed with Lou Sanders and Luke McQueen quite a lot.
This
and,
is going to be the most... Because in the podcast notes for this, I put links to everyone and everywhere that gets mentioned. This
oh,
is going to be
shit,
the most
sorry.
Brilliant comedians, yeah. I was going to say, that have ever
oh.
been mentioned in one podcast.
Oh, yeah, lovely bunch.
Lou Sanders and Luke McQueen, sorry.
But Luke really wanted some grub. And
right.
I was like, okay, well, there's a little shop before we get in. You know, it was World Cup, that was it. It was the World Cup, so we were absolutely hammered. Me and Luke were, Luke doesn't drink. But we went into the shop and he was like, get crisps, get this, get that. And I just walked out with a massive watermelon. And he was livid with me. And it was it was around that time that I... me and Luke write together a lot and work together a lot.
Yeah.
And
if you're not aware of his work, you
oh, yeah,
must
check it out.
Look it up.
We've collaborated
for 10 years. A brilliantly, brilliantly funny man, as is Lou Sanders.
Oh, they're both excellent.
I think people are more likely to be aware of Lou Sanders just because of a very, very
yeah,
funny thing
flavor.
They put on Instagram. You've got a big profile, but also they did a very funny thing on Instagram because they still live together in London. House sharing, not together. And they did a thing where they were asking their Alexa, Alexa, who is Lou Sanders? And it was like, Lou Sanders is a comedian and actress or something. And then it said, who is Luke McQueen? And it went, sorry, we don't know who that is. And it was so brutal.
Yeah,
and Luke
so
was so
great.
Gutted. And Lou was like, yeah. Anyway. You bought them a watermelon. Did it? How did you all feel the next day after you'd had a watermelon?
Absolutely no hangover.
Whoa.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. I've known that for a long time.
That's because there's... do you know
you're
what it feels
rehydrated.
Like? It's rehydrated, but also I think rehydration tablets are full of salts and sugars.
Oh, I always have one of them before bed.
The coconut water, which I think tastes of armpits.
Yeah, I don't like
it. It's especially full of all those... It's basically they're like a rehydration, extra rehydration even compared to water. Lots of concentrated stuff in it. And I feel like it's not a dissimilar taste to a really nice ripe watermelon. There is almost a saltiness.
I see what you mean.
There's definitely
a
sweetness.
Yeah, yeah, I know exactly.
It does feel like there's more going on than just water in it.
I love watermelon.
I've got a really lovely childhood memory that you've just sparked of being on one of those timeshare holidays with my mum, dad and my dad's parents as a little kid, where we would go to some concrete complex, somewhere in the Canary Islands
yeah.
usually, or somewhere else similarly ruined by the tourist industry. Ruined slash made
yeah.
economically by the tourist industry. And my dad and I would sit, we'd buy a quarter watermelon and we'd chop it into slices and cut down the
yes.
skin and then into chunks. And we'd sit there and it wasn't really about the watermelon, as much as the watermelon's nice, but we'd have a balcony on the end of our self-catered apartment thing. And we'd pop a
a big chunk of watermelon each. We'd have to suck all the actual flesh off and then wait till we had a mouthful of seeds. And then we'd... I'm telling a lot of stories about what a prick my dad is. And we'd sit and we'd wait until there were people under... floors underneath.
Not
always. But we would always, wait till we had a mouthful of seeds and go, ready, 3, 2, 1. We just had to fire them over the balcony.
You spat on people.
No.
Yeah.
It was seed rain. Watermelon. We were just making more watermelons grow in the concrete jungle beneath.
That's the only
fun fruit.
It is a bit of a pickle with the seeds, but.
Rudy sometimes asks for watermelon. It's one of the many times where I think I've done this wrong. He's too posh to ask.
Well, I remember being
mango,
amazed
watermelon
that
he and pineapple.
Olives.
Yeah, he's into big flavours for a little kid. I think I've just always passed him stuff and he's into it. But also, when I was pregnant, I ate so much spicy stuff.
I was with you in your pre-birth agony. Do you remember?
Tell me about that. I've
when you
that.
Were well, I thought about it. I'd forgotten about it. I think I blocked it out. It was so traumatic. But I remember we went to see Sicario at the cinema. You were really overdue. You were like,
I was nearly 2 weeks.
Yeah,
before
you
I had
were.
Him.
I think you were like 10 or 11 days overdue at this.
I've
point.
Forgotten this completely, Stubbs.
So we went to. You were like, I was just like, can I do anything? And you were like, just entertain me. Let's just
I
do
was
something.
So bored, and my brain wasn't really working.
Well, you were waiting to give birth. Like you were,
it's horrible if you go so
and overdue. I didn't know because all we do is drink and smoke and eat and there's like things that you definitely can't do while you're pregnant. So we went to the cinema and I remember I packed towels in case your waters broke and we watched that really stressful film.
Oh god, it's like really violent, really violent. Sicario.
Emily Blunt was in it.
It was like about gangland warfare, Mexico
like
borders,
the opening sort and of 15 minutes was just murder.
And weren't
and
there people? Weren't there like
people in the wall?
They'd stuffed people into the walls of this house to hide them.
Yeah.
And then there'd been a raid and they just blew the walls out with gunfire. And oh my God, it's the most horrific, gory, horrible thing to watch.
That whole day very tense.
Oh my God.
In fact, when I
completely blocked it out.
I think I sort of vaguely got you home and then. I went for a walk with my dog and picked loads of leaves. I was really into pressed leaves at the time. And I was pressing leaves.
A framed press.
Yeah, and I pressed one from the day that Rudy was born.
Oh!
Bit of fun. Bit of insight into my love for Jess there.
I remember when we went for a pipe when he was about 3 months old.
Oh, yeah, I've still got a photo of
and
that.
You've got a photo of me breastfeeding with my second pipe and you put it on social media on Mother's Day.
Yeah.
You're such a prick.
Yeah, to this day I want to
I
get
I can't
that
believe
part
I didn't get more shit for that.
Well, they were really lovely to you.
The pump
Do you remember
people
they were.
Were
like coming over Rudy was clamped around your nipple and they were like stroking his cheek. I was like,
this woke in Lewisham now.
Booby.
Say scrum diddly umptious.
No!
And then you can be in my podcast.
Scrum diddly umptious.
Tell me if you've always had a good relationship with eating. I don't think we've ever had this conversation.
I don't do that thing where you overeat when you're sad. I don't eat when I'm sad, basically.
Yeah.
So I've been really horribly skinny 3 times.
Yeah, heartbreak.
2 were heartbreak, 1 was the Edinburgh Festival.
Yeah,
the second
kind of
hour
grief.
I did. Yeah. In fact, but I got skin in both my hours. But I gave up stand-up, just for the listener, about 6 years ago. No one knows. But I sometimes, definitely when I'm having a bad time, I will stop eating and enjoy the pain that inflicts. Or enjoy is wrong.
I know what you mean. But but there's different scenarios that you're talking about there, and adrenaline is one. I don't eat as much in Edinburgh as I would normally.
Yeah,
in fact,
yeah,
this Edinburgh, I talked about it on the podcast. Like, I think. So my efforts, because I have had fucked up eating, are to do with trying to eat in an intuitive way. And that is it, that you are following that if you're not eating when you're very sad or very full of adrenaline,
suppose,
because your appetite's gone. And when your appetite's gone, you're fucked. That's a very different thing to disordered eating where you're... And there is a disordered element to it, obviously, if you're like, I'm enjoying the control. And you know that bit of your head that's saying, this is good.
Yeah,
you're
tiny,
is fucked
And the way
up.
That... I remember looking in the mirror and thinking, my clothes hang off me. Mm. And that society's taught me to think that that's good. Yeah. I even remember having like the peace of mind to think, oh, you look how the models are meant to look. Not that I was a beauty, but because I looked haggard and horrible, but that I, no, I mean, I look back at photos of me skinny and my face took a big hit. Tiny.
But
jowls.
Yeah, it ages you.
Yeah, really aged me.
I remember.
I lost my boobs, I lost my bum, you know. Whereas I've got them back now and I'm not giving them up for no one.
No, don't. It's a really, really tricky thing to navigate, the line between eating intuitively, which means that you don't eat when you're if you're eating intuitively, you're eating what you want, whatever you want.
Yeah.
And so sometimes your body is going to ask you for champagne and fries.
Yeah.
And sometimes your body's going to ask you for steak, and sometimes your body's going to ask you for a salad.
Yeah.
Or watermelon.
Yeah.
But also it means sort of trying to reconnect with fullness and what your body, when your body is full, and what you eat, how it makes your body feel, how it makes your mental health. It's all just trying to keep that connected. And ultimately, when you know that your appetite's tiny for you because your heart is broken, or you're so full of adrenaline, you just need to the line between, okay, that's intuitive. Genuinely, in the run-up to Edinburgh, I had a full week, which for me is unheard of, where eating was a chore.
Yeah, that's how I made feel myself,
and I'd eat three mouthfuls and be like, oh, I am full.
Yeah.
And I'd stop.
And physically and feel full.
Yeah. It's like, oh, no, I was full in my body because your tummy shrinks. But ultimately, I think it's about not then going, if you have the wherewithal about you to go, I'm going to try and keep this up as if it's some good thing.
Yeah.
It's not.
Yeah.
And also knowing this will pass.
Yeah.
And when I'm well, I'll want more.
Yeah.
And I'll need more.
Yeah.
That's what I think. The part of navigating that you don't discuss when you're trying to come down, if you're someone who would overeat for emotional reasons or whatever, is like then going, oh, not seeing it as some sort of victory when you're unknowingly undereating.
Oh,
but
no,
never. That's amazing.
To answer your question, I do have a good relationship with food, actually.
Yeah.
Like, even when I'm overeating, I know I'm doing it and I embrace it. Mm. You know, like last night, I bought that thing of Magnum ice cream. I was like, I'm going to try and make this last 2 days. And I didn't hate myself.
No, perfect.
I just
ate it. That's victory. I want to cheers to that. Because that is harder. And there are so many people, especially women, who'd find that impossible, to vortex the shame out of that. And be like, I just had a lovely time.
My shame is, I remember even having this conversation with someone, I can't remember who, but saying, I have got an addictive personality, like I just have.
I think all humans have.
Yeah, totally. But I've always been sort of relieved that food isn't one of the ones.
Yeah.
The things I get addicted to are the things that will kill me. The smoking, the drinking. You know, back in the day, I loved drugs to the point where that was definitely a problem. But not food.
Yeah. Do you know what you've reminded me of? There's such a sexy line in the new, the latest Florence and the Machine album. I can't remember which track, but where she says, I thought that love was in the drugs, but the more I took, the more they took away.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, my God. It's so simple, totally. But it's just like, oh.
Yeah.
I've never had a patch where I've felt in any way. I'm too controlling of my life to have ever been anywhere near borderline with drugs, but
I think my friends held an intervention when I was about 28.
Really?
Yeah, the people I lived with, because I was bad. I just loved getting off my head, and not just like weekends, like weekdays. I bet there's a decade where I took drugs three times a year.
A week?
Three times a week.
I didn't know that.
Yeah, I
knew you smashed them back in the day.
I've had three glasses of champagne and just told a fucking podcast. Having not told my best friend for a decade.
I think it's really amazing for people to hear that and know that it's not an end game. That's not your life ruined. Especially people who think that drugs are a slippery slope, blah, blah, blah. You can have had a patch of your life.
I came out of it because I got very, very sick. I was in hospital.
Right. I had like, I went and I then weirdly took myself to McClunkleth in Wales, and I stayed there for 3 weeks to recover.
That's before there was even a comedy festival.
Yeah, there was no. Yeah, I think there probably was actually, but I stayed with my weirdly a woman that my dad had dated. She was the only person I could think of that lived in the country. And I remember speaking to my mum on the phone, and my mum said, "You've got to get away. You've got to get away. Who do you know?" And I said, "I only know." And it was this one woman. And my mum had a very tricky relationship with her. She dated my dad. But I phoned her and I went, "I'm not well. Can I come and stay?" And she went, "What do you need?" And I was on the train the next day.
Oh, stop.
Yeah, and they watched, you know, they breathed life back into her and her husband. Like, they took me in as this grey little urchin, like wretch. Of a human. I had such a bad migraine. I'd had it for like 3 weeks, couldn't move any of my neck, my head, like had like loss of sight. And over, yeah, I stayed there for 3 weeks, was fat when I left.
good and, of a proper recovery.
Yeah, and they said, I remember the lady saying, like, it's been it was really tricky to see you how you were when you arrived, but we're both, as in her and her husband, like very proud of what we've done.
And mate.
I got it, and I didn't see them, like I saw them for meals, like they let me just have my own room and they just didn't ever like, trouble me. Yeah, I made bracelets every day for 3 weeks.
Still quite crafty.
Yeah, very crafty.
You've made my favourite earrings I own.
But yeah, it was yeah, a horrible old period. But I was young, you know, it's like well over a decade ago.
Yeah, it's amazing. And now you're sorted as fuck.
Yeah, I mean, more
flying high, mate.
I mean, I live in a shed, but yeah. More or less totally sorted, mate. Yeah. Absolute victory.
You fucking are. You're flying. Flying as a writer and director and actor.
But I think if I did have that sort of relationship with food, I would be in trouble.
Yeah.
It's just, I weirdly felt blessed.
Yeah, in that one.
Well, I often think,
I think so many people have, yes, I'm sure, but also, can you, up to a point, you know, eventually you're a tiny grey urchin that needed to get fucking swooped up. It's weird that there's less shame in that than if it was with food. That's fucked up.
Yeah, yeah, it's absolutely fucked up.
And that's fat phobia. And our society, and that's the way in which we're fucked up. Fuck me.
Oh, God,
you know, I have learned that hard.
Yeah, that's the irony of it.
And repeatedly during the year and a half of doing this podcast. And it's fucked up that it's like, that it's seen to be a choice when it's food.
Yeah.
But not when it's booze or drugs or fags or whatever.
Oh, yeah, like it's how or, weird you know, that whatever. I worded it that I felt relieved.
Yeah.
Because
of
I
course.
Did one that no one could pick up on.
And you could still feel like society thought you were sexy and a high achiever and a motivated person. Whereas if it manifested as someone who was big as a result of their addiction.
Or skinny.
Then people assume they're... Yeah, and skinny. But if it was food, then it makes you big and then people assume you're lazy, that it's a choice, that you've got no willpower, that you're and you won't get jobs.
I nearly died. I was very sick.
Yeah. And actually... You can manage eating too much and still be extremely productive and nowhere near death.
Yeah.
You know, you can even just exercise yourself. You know, fuck me, it's fucked up. Fuck, well, that question has never taken that direction before and it's joyful.
Sorry about that.
No, I love it and thank you so much for your honesty. I would be honoured if I could keep all that in.
I mean, yeah, just never let my mum listen.
No problem. I mean, that's really on you.
Yeah,
Sue, if you're listening.
Because I live in her garden.
You've been warned. I am so 100% sure that the end of your story will be, can you believe I ever lived in my mum's shed?
Oh, I'd love that.
They finally invent the hover car, Stubbs. They build a massive one and it's incredible. It seats 30, so they're sort of left brain PR savvy idiots that they are. They launch it with the 30 most inventive brains in the world in it, inside this hover car. But it goes wrong and it looks like it's going to crash into your shed.
What?
Only you, but also it will let's make the jeopardy a bit higher. It will also kill loads of other people in Hither Green and Catford.
And my dogs. Only,
and your dogs. Shit. Oh, God. Oh, that's up to it.
Only
you can save them, and you have to do it by building an enormous house-sized trampoline and upturning it just a few metres from your shed. And you have to do it all by yourself. And it's really, really physically hard work, and it sounds impossible, and you've got about 10 minutes to do it. But somehow you do it. You're a hero. Your reward is the adulation of all people of all time, especially those in Catford and Hither Green, where we are now. You're allowed a shower or whatever you need to feel human again, but you've got that post-massive exertion high.
I probably wouldn't have a shower.
Hunger, fine. No, I mean, I am sat here post-gym.
Yeah, you stink.
And after having built a child's bed.
Yeah,
and
you
I fucking stink, actually. And I did text you and say, will it be all right? And you said you'd be offended if I did have a shower.
Yeah, I like it when you smell.
Your reward, as well as all of this, like going down in history for doing something so incredible and memorable, is the feast of your dreams. Nothing has to be practical, possible, let alone ethical, healthy. I'd want to know if, in an ideal situation where nothing had any consequences, what you would eat, what you would drink, and if there's a who, with, and where, then and who, with, and where. And remember, those don't have to be possible too.
Okay, here we go. I would have lots of crisps.
Yes.
Like bowls of all my favourites. McCoy's, salt vinegar, prawn cocktail, blah, 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 blah. I'd have all them to start with, and some bread stripe.
Yes. Yes.
I'd have that. But then I'd like then to know that there was a bit of a meal. Do you know what?
I would love it if you left it at crisps and beer.
No, I will have some sustenance. I think I'll go for, as long as I didn't have to make it, like some form of soup, like a noodle soup, like a spicy,
like
ramen.
A pho or a ramen.
Yeah, ramen is my fave. Some nice rice noodles, some definitely some fresh chili and ginger in there. Lovely miso and I might treat myself to some cod. Like,
ooh, lovely.
Actually, do you know what? Fucking scrap all that. I'll probably get the miso cod ramen from Wagamama's.
Oh, yes. Get someone else to make it.
I love that.
Oh, so
yeah,
good.
I'll get Wagamama.
Yes.
I'll get him in.
Yes.
Her in.
Any put?
Yes. Yeah. Probably something like a... Probably something like a Viennetta.
Nice.
Yeah.
Do they do different flavours or just are you going
for
the original?
I'd go for classic. Yeah,
the classic.
Yeah.
And that's classic just vanilla. It's basically like a Mr. Whippy, but harder, with thin slices of chocolate running through it.
Do you remember Gino Ginelli?
I do remember Gino Ginelli.
Yeah, I don't think it exists anymore, but toffee fudge Gino Ginelli.
Oh, yes.
In fact, that's the first time I remember being depressed. First of many, so I'll get my films made. Is that we were allowed to, every so often my mum would get Gino Ginelli or Viennetta after our Sunday roast. And I remember one time my brothers and me, we all had some scoops and I didn't get a single chunk of fudge.
Fuck.
Yeah, Ben got seven, so I'm
what
got
the
five.
Fuck?
Yeah, and I remember just thinking, this is what life is.
I love it that you put that in the feast of your dreams.
No, well,
to redress,
anyway, I
to address the terrible memory. And this time you get the seven and he gets the none.
Yeah.
Ben gets none.
I mean, everyone that's there can have a tub each.
Who's going to be there then?
Oh, well, you can be there.
Thank you.
My mum, my brother.
Sam and Becky will be there.
And some mates.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
Some of the comedians we've mentioned.
Yeah,
probably.
I mean, probably
Al,
all the
Luke,
ones I've mentioned so far.
Lou.
Rosie.
Gabby, Rosie.
Yeah, they can all be there.
Oh, that's nice.
Yeah, but maybe and just do it in my garden.
Oh, nice.
Yeah.
Around your bloody...
Then I don't
should
have
we do
to
it in 4 years'
anxiety.
Time when your avocados have ripened?
Yeah, all right. Yeah, avocado ice cream's nice. Have you ever had that?
No, thanks.
Okay.
Thank you so much.
All right, we petered out?
Petering out. It's petering. Petering.
Peter.
Petering. Delicious. Oof. That took a brilliant, beautiful, personal, revelatory turn at the end there, didn't it? Thanks so much to you, Stubbs, for letting me keep all that in. She wanted me to clear it up for you that she isn't and wasn't any sort of heroin addict or anything like that, in case she made it sound like that. I don't think she did.
and that she's beyond fine now, just to be clear. So get yourself all up in Rachel's work if you haven't already. She's a genuinely extraordinary talent. She makes stunning short films all the time. She's got the most grotty little sense of humour. She's perfect at these things. She makes stunning short films all the time. Go to her website, rachelstubbings.com, and look at the film page specifically. They're all there. I'm in a few, most recently one called Mum of the Year. She even runs a brilliant little short film night in a lush, tiny cinema in Bermondsey called Shooting the Breeze. They're every couple of months. Come, I'll see you there. Hoovering has live dates looming fast this autumn. I need you to come to them. Join us. Join us in Manchester on the 13th of October at the Lowry Theatre. Come and see Hench at the Soho Theatre. That's my stand-up show. Maybe come along to my sneaky warm-up one at the Bill Murray pub in North London on the 7th of October. It's only a fiver if that hasn't sold out. Follow the podcast all over social media at The Hoovering Pod. Follow me if you like at social media. If you want to send me anything longer than a tweet like an email, for example, or if you want to look at any of my live dates whatsoever, go to jessicafosterq.com. Huge thanks to Acast for hosting the podcast. Hoovering is produced by Emma Corsham and the music is by Mike Greenway. Until next week, happy hoovering.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Did you know cats tend to hide symptoms of sickness and pain? I learned this the hard way after losing my cat, Gingy. So I created Pretty Litter, a health monitoring litter that helps detect early signs of illness by changing colors, saving you money and potentially your cat's life. Pretty Litter is veterinarian developed, and it's the easiest way to keep tabs on your fur baby's health right at home.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
Tired of ads barging into your favorite news podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay up to date on everything newsworthy by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/newsadfree. That's amazon.com/newsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Even when we're on a budget, we still deserve nice things. Quince is a place to scoop up stunning high-end goods for 50 to 80% less than similar brands. They have buttery soft cashmere sweaters starting at $50, luxurious Italian leather bags, and so much more. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get the high-end goods you'll love without the high price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/style for free shipping and 365-day returns.